If you want to find the Bible and turn to the little book of Titus, it's over past 2 Timothy. I've thought about what to talk about tonight. In just a few weeks, I hope to, in our Sunday school class, start teaching 5 epistles, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. I don't know of any passages of Scripture that are more relevant than these are, because Paul talks about some of the issues which we are facing today. You know, and some of the issues that we face today are not new. They happen just the same way they did back when this Bible was written. So, just what I want to talk about tonight is, by God's grace, living in this present day. Living in this present day. And you know, and I know, that things are different today than they have been. Things are changing all the time. With the Christians under a greater persecution, under a greater opposition, probably, than they have been in many years. But if you look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Speak, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke with authority. Let no man despise thee." You know, and I know, it is by the grace of God that all of us are saved. Only by his grace. And as Paul writes this letter, and he mentions Titus was not a Jew. He was a Greek. Titus was a young man who Paul had led to the Lord. But Paul wanted to show that it is by God's grace, whether you're Jew or whether you're Greek, we're all saved by the same grace of God. We're saved, it doesn't matter. And so it is by God's grace. And so as you read through these epistles, you find the thread of the gospel of grace which brings salvation. Now, prior to this passage, I mean to these verses 1 through 10, if you read them, you find that Paul is giving different counsel for different ages, different classes of people, and how that they are to live in their present day, in their present culture, and their present society. Now, and as you read these words, you find that they speak very clear, very loud to us today. Paul's day and age faced the same problems, many of them, that we face today. They may have been in a little bit different way, but so Paul, the main thing that he's teaching here is that the gospel of grace is not only to just provide us a way to heaven, but it is also to show us how we are to conduct our lives each day, how we are to have that manner of life in this present day. I like the way Paul says it. He says, how we are to live in this present world. And that applies to us today. We know that if it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't be here, would we? We could not be here tonight. And so he says, for it is by God's grace that all are availed salvation. And it has appeared unto all men. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor toward undeserving sinners like you and me, like you and I. Not one of us measure up to the holiness of God, do we? Not one of us measure up to God's righteousness. What does the Bible say? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it wasn't for God's love for you and God's love for me, we would all be lost. But God was willing to sacrifice His Son for you. And Jesus was willing to sacrifice His life for you upon the cross. Therefore, the gospel of grace reveals His love for each one of us. Paul says, for the grace of God has appeared to all men. Paul reminds us that it is freely revealed. It is freely given. It is the gospel of grace, which has been recorded in the Holy Scriptures and revealed to you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way He speaks to us today. If we didn't have God's grace, we wouldn't have the gospel. God's grace. And so, someone said, if a person perishes in the horrors of hell, he must walk over the blood-stained cross that bears his name. That bears his name. But in this passage, now that Paul has established, it is by grace that we're saved. Now he is saying, as he says in verse 11, that God's grace has appeared all to all men. It is bringing salvation. But now he says, and it teaches us how we should live. There's about 4 points that, and I know I won't try to do all of them tonight, but he teaches us how we should live. It teaches us for what we should long for. It teaches us where we are to look, and it teaches us who is Lord. If you look in these verses, we are to look, we are to long for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many times a day do we think about today could be the day that Jesus comes? I love that song, what a day it will be when Jesus comes. What a day, glorious day it would be. So He teaches us how we should live and how we need this today. We live in a world today, you know this and I know this, that morals don't have any meaning anymore. The standard of conduct is whatever you want it to be according to today's society. And people are doing what is right in their own eyes. That's the way they want to live. There are no moral absolutes. The gospel is too narrow and too strict. And you know that as a result, people have lost all respect for human life and human dignity. And so, what Paul is saying here is, in these times, in this present world, in this world that we live in today, we need to know how we should live. How we should live. And he's speaking here primarily to Christian people, the church. The church who stands for the gospel. And you know this, the gospel is under attack today. The church is under attack today, probably more than ever before. That is the reason the people of God have to stand against the evil forces of hell, which is out to destroy us. And that's the reason Paul says here, he charges the people to denounce all godlessness, all worldly passions. And that's not popular in today's world. It wasn't popular in Paul's day. It's not easy to denounce all ungodliness and denounce all worldly lust. So he's telling us how we are to live. And what does Paul say? How does he say we are to discipline our conduct, our manner of life? He uses the word teaching. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, Paul says by teaching the grace of God, by teaching the gospel of grace, you are able to deny the world's temptations which are present in the world today. You know this. The worldly lust which the devil puts out there wants to draw you away from God. He wants to draw you away from the things of God. There are three things that the Bible mentions that we battle every day: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ungodliness here refers to anything which contradicts the Word of God. Do that which is convenient and makes you happy. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. That's the way people want to live today. And when you take a stand the other way, you're abnormal. you're just old fogey. You're just out of date. Have people say, oh, that's been gone. So it's not an easy task, is it? It's not easy to reject and disallow the things of this world. But it requires denial and it requires discipline under the power of the Holy Spirit. You've heard the statement, it takes the same grace to live the Christian life that it did to save you. It takes the same grace. We have to live under the power of the Holy Spirit. because we live in a world of ungodliness. And we live in a world that is worldly. And that's the norm. But Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And what's the next part? And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is he saying? Be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Sometimes even we in the church allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. And he's saying here, don't be conformed to the world. Someone said, God didn't save us to make us happy, but he saved us to make us holy. Paul's charge to these believers was one of self-discipline, and it was one of self-denial. In this present world, where there's so much evil, we have to practice these two things. And we must depend upon the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to do so. So he mentions here not only discipline, not only denial, he's saying teaching us denying ungodliness and worldliness. He also gives us direction. How does he tell us that we should live? He says, how are we to conduct our present daily lives? He says, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, what does the word, you look at the word, you say, soberly. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does the word soberly mean? Most of what we think of is getting over something after we drink. But no, what the word soberly really refers to is of sound mind. Be of sound mind. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Be discreet in how we live our lives. Soberly refers to the self-restraint and the discipline. You know, living our life in a manner, in a sensible manner. Sometimes I've seen people who actually get on the road of legalism. I've had some people that I've had to deal with one time that got on just a food that, and they were almost making it like it was a holy thing. And they, if you didn't eat that way, they were kind of down upon you. That's what he, be sensible in what we do. Living, and don't go out on a limb and get yourself in a position that you can't get out of. But living with a humble and a quiet spirit. Not prideful and not with a self-righteous attitude. That's what he's talking about when he talks about living soberly. The Lord desires for us, for you and I, to live in this world with a caring and a humble heart as we speak the truth in love, serving Him with a humble spirit. And what does He mean by righteously? He says, righteous means right living according to the principles of God's Word. Righteous living. Making right decisions on what is just and what is right. And not swayed by a popular opinion. Our manner of life has to be godly. We must display a godly manner in whatever we speak and in the conduct that we have. Many times we do things which are contrary to the godly character that we should have. And as I said, you know, it's not popular today when you go to talking about these type of things. People just want to call you self-righteous, or they want to call you legalistic. They say that's out of date, that's been gone. But no, what is true right here in this Bible, what Paul is saying here is in the way that we should live our lives each day to demonstrate the holiness and the character of God. What he was speaking to them that day is just as true to you and I today. That's what he said. If we could just take that verse and say, folks, in this present world, I mean, we're right here today, and we face a lot of temptation. There's a lot of temptation out there today to want to live according to the flesh, want to live according to the desires of the world. And so, Paul is saying, first of all, we have to have a denial. First of all, he talks about we have to have discipline. And that word teaching is the same word that comes from a word which means training up a child in the way he should go. You know, we have to deny ourselves and be under the authority of the Lord himself and under the authority of his word. You know, the Bible talks about how that it gives us, it teaches us what he wants us to do. It teaches us or tells us when we go in the wrong way. And it also teaches us or tells us instruction in when we are doing the right things. Paul talks about this. And so he says here, teaching us, teaching me, teaching us, teaching you through the power of God's Spirit, through reading God's Word, that we are to deny the ungodliness of this world and the worldly lust. That's, as I keep saying, that's not a popular thing to do today. We know that in the world we live in. But Paul says, because of the grace of God, which brings salvation to all men, the same grace can give you, can give me, can give each one of us the power to live the Christian life the way that we should. I can't do it on my own. There's no way I can live within the... God didn't design me that way, to live within my own power. But He gives us the power to do so. The word godly comes from the word which means giving glory to God. Giving God the glory. Doing His will in every aspect of our life. Conduct and character of your Christian life with a reverent heart and a love for the Lord Jesus. So what does he say? He said, live soberly. Live righteously. Live godly in this present world. Right now. Not yesterday, but right now. Right now. Someone said, the enabling grace of God does not give us the freedom to do what we want to, but it gives us the ability to do what we should. God's grace, God's salvation does not give me the freedom just to go and do what I want to. But God's grace gives me the freedom, the power to do what He leads me to do. By the same grace that we're saved, we had to have to live the Christian life. We live our holy lives not out of obligation, but as an opportunity to serve Him, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul emphasizes to these people, just like the Word of God emphasizes to us today, that we had to live a life of discipline, a life of denial, a life of determination, and follow His direction in His Word and according to His ways. That's the only way that we can live holy and pure lives. Not a self-righteousness, but not because of what I can do, but because of what He has already done for me. Not because of what I do, but because of what He has already done for me. Use it. Use my life. Use your life as an opportunity to serve Jesus to the glory of God. And whatever, wherever, whenever it may be. I'm going to use these some other time, but he also teaches us here where we are to look. He says, looking for that blessed hope. He teaches us where we are to long. He says, and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we long for His return? Are we ready for His return? Do we long for his return? Would we be ready if Jesus were to come before we ended this service? Would we be ready? Do we look for that blessed hope that he gives us? Paul says that blessed hope that is laid up for you, that is reserved for you in heaven. You know, there's a lot of people out there today that don't have hope. They don't have hope for tomorrow. There's a lot of people that don't have the hope that you and I do for tomorrow. I see a lot of people that don't have the hope for tomorrow because they don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. It teaches us also who is Lord. He says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a, what's the word? Peculiar people. Peculiar people. Now I know some people might say we are peculiar. Some people might say Christians are peculiar, but that's not what really the word peculiar really means here, like odd. But the word peculiar means a separated, different. Somebody who can see a difference in my life. Somebody who can see a difference in your life. You know, they say action speaks a lot louder than words, and that's true. My Christian life, my conduct, my character speaks a lot louder than what I say. The way I respond to things. And so he says here, to a peculiar people, zealous, we ought to be anxious about doing the work of the Lord. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Jesus gives us the authority to speak his word. We ought to be zealous about speaking the word of God anytime we get a chance. Anytime we have the chance. And let no man despise thee. Let no man despise thee. Always conduct your life in a way that people will show respect. Paul tells us in this few verses how we are to live our lives in this present day, in this present hour in which we live, when, as I said, we face so much ungodliness today, so many things that are against the Word of God, so many things that are against what God commands us to do. But through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can. He promises. He promises we can. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage. Thank you for the word that you give us. Lord, help us to live in this present day the way that we should, that we can manifest your presence to someone and make a difference in their life. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.